Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I am in control. You guys got to tell me what to control. I'll pump the brakes. I just don't know which side they're on. And so, yeah, praise God. As you know, we are going through Jeremiah, and I so want to get to chapter 13, where God tells him to put on a linen girdle and go all the way to Euphrates and bury it in a rock, under a rock, and come back sometime later and dig it up. But we got 12 between here and there. And so as the Lord is laying it on, again, this chapter, it screams God's desire to reach his people with love and compassion. All of this, it when you just read it, you can read it with a heart. I guess it's really how you put it in your head as you get into it. Because if you're kind of angry when you start, you come out like God's just wanting to pound and pound and pound. But really and truly, if you change through prayer, because when I read it first again this morning, I was not in a good mood because I was listening to all of the news, right? And when you listen to the news, you cannot be in a good mood. You know, you realize just how wicked people are. And then you slow down and you start to see God's goodness even in the midst of all of this. His cry is still the same. Come out. Be a part of me, trust my word, trust my love, trust my life, and I will guide you into a goodness, to a good place, to a place of rest, and I want to repair the things that are broken down. Yeah.
When Josie was born, and when she went, I don't know, about 2 months old, they realized she was blind, and what went through my mind is, of course, you're devastated when you first
sure. Your grandbaby, yeah.
But she was always blind.
Yeah.
We just now understood her better.
Right.
She was always blind.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't just happen when we were told. All this stuff that's happening in the world,
yeah,
it's always been there.
It's always been there, yeah.
We're just more aware.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. We just never thought we would see it in our day and time.
We didn't
you
know what scripture looked like with sneakers on.
Yeah, amen.
Now we know what it looks like.
And Jeremiah's has laid out before the Lord a little complaint, and then he comes to a census, right? And he starts reading and writing in chapter 12 and verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doeth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they are all they happy that deal very treacherously. Hast thou planted them? Yea, they are not taken root. They grow, yea. They bring forth fruit. Thou art near to their mouth and far from their rein. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep from the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of the field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land be of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? He goes on a little bit. We need to back up and kind of look at what he just wrote, the way that he wrote these things. First, whenever what is going on in our life, we need to remember that God is righteous, right? He starts out right there, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. God wants to hear from his people. He wants to hear from the folks that are born again, that are called by the righteous God. And he wants to hear your voice. And he is righteous. Thou, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. And remember what Jeremiah was seeing. He's seeing a lot about what we're seeing right now. I truly, really believe that America is not going into the judgment of God, that we are under the judgment of God. the wickedness that we're seeing, the way that they're perverting our children in schools, and the way that the preaching has turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and has turned into some wishy-washy thing, right? Nothing solid anymore. The way that marriages are falling apart, like it seems like on every side, at least a couple times a week, I hear of this marriage in trouble or that marriage in trouble or these things going wrong, and kids just, a six-year-old child bringing a gun to school and shooting his teacher. When have you ever heard of such a thing? Well, this is the judgment of God, not against the teacher or against the child, but because of the wickedness that we have allowed to grow in the land. The unrighteous has gone unchecked because the church, those who are supposed to be keeping the oracles of God, truly haven't humbled themselves. As Wendy said, a lot of people love him to be their savior, but so few really want him to be the Lord. Right? And there's a big difference between Lord and Savior. Oh, Savior is great. Save me. Pull me up from the fire. Right. Help me out of this. Be my Savior. Amen. But when God says, I will save you, but I have to be your Lord. I am your ruler. I reign over you. You are mine. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Not with any price, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And we are to be obedient to that light. Oh, we missed it somewhere, especially the obedient part. Most of the Church of America does not comprehend what obedience truly means to God. We have this gentle shepherd, come lead us. And that's a beautiful song, don't get me wrong, it is. But we forgot that he is a God of vengeance. He is a God of wrath and judgment. He will let you go so far on your own, but then he will chasten you because he loves you. The chastening that we're about ready to go through here in this nation, I'm no financial guy. You know, I know how to save money. Like, I still got 50 cents of the first dollar ever made, almost. Right? I know how to keep things. But I don't know how to manage stuff real well, right? So saving money and managing money are two different animals. They really are. So we have raised a generation that does not comprehend either one of those concepts. How to manage, how to be controlled in their lifestyles on a foundation that does not move. It's all, again, unicorns and rainbows, right? It's all those things. It's the happy-go-lucky Christianity that has lost the concrete founding of what the gospel really is and what the news is. But he's righteous and he pleads with him. God wants to hear us pleading. And it's okay to ask about the judgments. Like I was saying, I really believe that America is under the judgment of God right now. The wickedness that we are seeing becoming unveiled. All right, it's the unveiling of the wickedness. Like Wendy said earlier, or one of y'all guys said, that the wickedness has always been here, and it has, it's always been here. But in our lifetime, in my father's lifetime, in my grandparents' lifetime, in the time of the elders that we know, the folks that we look back and they're 80, 90 years old, we look into their lives, they never saw this type of unadulterated wickedness. Unbridled, that's just the word. Just, yeah. Unbridled wickedness. Yeah. And it's not that God isn't able to save or God is able to change anything. The hearts of man have turned against the living God. And God said, if this is really what you want, I'm going to let you have it. If you really want to have this sexual debauchery running across your world, across your nation, if you really want your children to be murderers at 6 years old, now you didn't kill the lady, but at 6 years old to have the lack of consciousness to fire a weapon at your kindergarten teacher, That is the judgment of God. And it is the judgment of God because the people of God stopped teaching the children that they were made in the image and likeness of God, and that there is worth in every human life. So, I question God, not question God like, are you sure? But God, it's like, I see these things going on, and I see, really, God? I know that you love, I know that you're righteous, I know that your judgments are always true, but man, this is ugly.
That's why Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet.
Yes.
Because he wept.
Well, Lamentations, the next book over, you know, you see his heart breaking over and over for his people. Wherefore doeth the way prosper? And this reminds me of that, surely the Lord has been good to Israel, but as for me, my feet had almost slept because I saw the way of the wicked, and there was no pain in their feet. What's that? Isaiah 74, 73?
No, that's a psalm.
Is it a psalm? Okay.
What's that?
That scripture I was just quoting.
Psalm 73?
74, yeah, maybe Psalm 73, 74, somewhere. Yeah. And he's saying, I was looking, and my foot almost slipped because the wicked were prospering. There was no pain in their death. Their wickedness seemed to be unbridled. There was no repayment for the evil that they were doing. And I didn't understand it until I came into the house of the Lord. And then I realized their way. 73, Psalm 73. Yeah. You got it there? Would you read it for me?
Where do you want to
start? Surely my feet had almost slept.
So if you go back just real quick to 11.
Yeah.
Psalm 73, verse 11. And it says, and they say, how doth God know?
Ah, thank you. Yeah.
And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. 13. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. 15. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And that's the end, then it switches.
Yeah.
17. Until I went into the
sanctuary
of God,
yes.
Then understood I their end.
Yes.
And it continues on, you just real quick jump down to 27. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish.
Mm.
Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from me.
Amen.
But it is good for me to draw near to God.
Yeah.
I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works.
Amen.
We skipped a few.
Yeah, we skipped a few.
Well, part two wanted those way up in
two. One. Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. Truly, God is good to Israel, even as much that as are of a clean heart.
Mm-hmm.
But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them as a chain, compasseth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praise. I love you guys so much.
But isn't it today?
Learn. Yeah, it is. And the it reminds me of Lot as his heart was vexed as he or Lot. His heart was vexed as he sat at the gates of Sodom.
Yep.
Yeah, he saw the wickedness that was going, and it broke his heart. I see the wickedness that is going on, and that wickedness is because Sodom's big problem wasn't homosexuality. It was laziness. It was slothfulness.
Fullness of bread.
Right? Idleness of the hand.
Sin. It was sin.
It was sin. Right?
There was
A lot of sin going on. Not unlike America today, or the world today. It's not even America. This is a global rejection of the one true God. And there are a few, amen, there's always a few, a remnant. But my heart is breaking. My foot's almost slipped, right? And because I look at them, I look at the world, and it doesn't seem like Well, the president, right, O'Biden, he was just caught with the same top secret documents that Trump was caught with. But nothing's going to happen to him. They're not raiding his $50 billion houses, right? And they found more today. They found some the other day. Well, they found some at the before the elections. And then they found some more today. Top secret documents as he was vice president. And he stole them from the White House and hid them in his sock drawer or wherever he kept them. Right? And it just, the wicked, think about how many bodies are connected to the Clintons. That and I'm no investigator. I'm not that smart. I really ain't. But I can read. You know, Whitewater. Does anybody remember Whitewater? And the wickedness that with the thievery that went on there? But there's no pain in their death.
It's overt.
Yeah. In your Benghazi. Does anyone remember Benghazi? And what did Mrs. Clinton say? What does it matter anyhow? They're just Americans. They're your children. They're your sons and brothers and children. It's your kids that died over there defending our embassy. But what's it matter anyhow?
That's really not there.
Yeah.
The embassy that's not there.
The embassy that's not there. Yeah. So, yeah, I look at that. And again, it reminds me a thing that was told from Paul to the church, either through Timothy or to Thessalonica, that talks about the wickedness that grows in the end days, and how because wickedness shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Right? Iniquity. I called it wickedness. I think it's iniquity. I'm trying to get the right words in my mind. But because iniquity is abounding, the heart of many is growing. The heart of the church, the ones who are supposed to be filled with love and compassion, are seeing this unjustness throughout the upper echelons of the government. And there is no pain in them breaking the law.
Well,
yet. Well, until we go into the sanctuary.
My father is also, yeah. We spent all this time Monday night on fret not.
Yeah.
So,
right. Amen.
Psalm 37, fret not.
Fret not.
Thyself because of evildoers.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And that's where we got to be. But it doesn't make us blind to the things that are going on. And we know that there are certain things that are happening. And we talked about it a little bit. This whole ESG going across the world. Right, when this thing is already caught in Europe, but when it starts affecting America the way that it's affecting them, there is a world of hurt coming down. They're going from the dollar being the currency to an oil-based dollar. All right, so that's going to put all the money in Russia. You're going to have to pay everything in rubles soon, or the yen. Or whatever they use in Saudi Arabia. You know, you're not going to have a dollar bill in your wallet anymore. I'm going to have a quart of oil in my back pocket.
And for those of you that did not hear Asha say that she had money from India.
Uh-huh.
And she had it set aside for when she went back. And I think it was her father that was dying. Anyway, she had to go back. He had died or something.
He was in Puerto Rico. It was her mom.
Her mom, yeah.
So she had to go back to that country, and she had this money. And as soon as she pulled it out, they're like, Asha, that's worthless. That's worthless.
Yeah.
That's
how fast it turns. Yeah.
Because in one day, the government said, no more money. That's not the currency anymore.
Yeah. Right. The Confederate dollar. And I know that y'all ain't Confederates here. Yankees. And so, yeah. But in one day, the Confederate dollar became worthless. It became wallpaper. It was worth nothing. And so it didn't matter how much you had stacked up. These things that we call dollar bills in our pockets, these little pieces of paper right here, in one night, in one day, they could take all of this and turn it into really fancy toilet paper. They're already saying in New York
They're saying in New York, you won't be, no building built can have a gas stove or gas fireplaces or gas heat.
They're working on it.
They're working on it. Hochul's already pushing it through.
That's going to be the whole country.
Yeah, that's going to be the whole country. I mean, they're working on it in New York because we are the armpit of Lucifer. But, or we live in the armpit of Lucifer. California is the other end. I'm sorry. She's looking at me like, what did you just say?
West Coast, East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. It is wicked. It's wicked. And what they're doing is not unknown. God said that these things were going to happen. God said that this, he didn't call it ESG, but he said that there's a system coming up that you would not be able to buy, sell, or trade without this system being in your hand or on your forehead. And he called it a mark of a man. And that number is, we call it 666, but it's really not. It's 603 score or whatever. Anyhow, I'd have to look it up to find the exact wording. It means the same thing, but I don't think you're going to be branded with a 666. I think you're going to, this ESG is the first worldwide looking into that thing, whatever that thing's going to be. Because if you don't get in line, if you don't get in line and start following the leaders, the world leaders, that's why in Jeremiah, God calls his people to come out of her. In Revelation 13, I think it is, God, Jesus calls his people to come out of her, come out of Babylon, come out of the world system, the whore. Folks, we need to get ready to disconnect everything. And it's, folks, it is going to be really, really difficult because we are so connected to this world system. When they decide to turn the gas off, guess what they're going to do? They're going to turn the gas off. And if your battery operated car isn't going to work, because that works off of funny, it's coal-powered power plants. Right? And so, anyhow.
Yep.
And it is a world system, and we're watching it being birthed right in front of us. And so, I'm seeing the judgment of God, and I am, like Jeremiah, pleading with God right here. I see it. I know that you're righteous. I know that you're just. But if what I'm seeing is any inkling of what the truth really is, and folks, I could be wrong. I could be so far, because I am no prophet. But I'm no dummy either. All right? I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord here. What I am observing is the reality of the situation that the world is in because of the rejection of the one true living God. And it fears me that a lot of the born-again evangelical people, they're going to go into this thinking that they're going to be caught out at any time. But they forget where God spoke to Daniel, and Daniel said that this Antichrist is going to rise up. And he's going to make war with the saints, and he's going to prevail. And it tells us again in the Revelation that this Antichrist is going to rise up, and he's going to make war with the saints, and he's going to prevail. And Jeremiah, you need something, my brother? You lose something? Oh, I got you. I see it. So my brother lost his marker. And I can't let that happen. He's going like this. I said, oh, man, I got to help you. And so, I see the wicked and how there seems to be no harming them in their acts of attrition to the Lord. It is Psalm 73, and it's here in Jeremiah's heart. I see how the wicked are prospering, and they're happy, even though they deal very treacherously. And then he says in verse 2 that thou hast planted them. All right? God put these wicked people in place. He put them in place in Jeremiah's time. And the wicked people that are ruling the world right now, God allowed them to come into power, to come into authority. I don't want to call what they have power, but they do have authority.
right? They have authority because the world blinded themselves from the truth of God's light, and they embraced the darkness.
It's like Babylon or Assyria.
Yes. Same thing. It is the very same thing.
Let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So how many times in our lives have we thought, why? Narrow is the way.
It's yeah.
Like, boy, it seems like there's a lot of...
Yes, a lot of...
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, that's hard to believe. And now it's like, yeah.
No. Yeah. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and broad is the path that leads to destruction.
Yep.
Narrow is the way, and few there are that find. Only few are going to find it.
Now that scripture makes sense.
There is a great darkening of the God gave them over to the delusion, to the deception, because they love not the truth. All right, and so all this wickedness that we're seeing, God gave them over to that wickedness because they didn't love the truth. And that goes for those who are confessing Jesus Christ as their Savior, but not their Lord. All right? You're my Savior, good enough, but you're not going to be my Lord. I'm going to be the Lord of my own life. And if you are the Lord of your own life, then the Lord God Almighty is not your Lord. And if He is your Lord, if He's not your Lord, then guess what? He's not your Savior either. You know, and I think a lot of people are really going to be surprised. There will be a lot on that day, and we've talked about this scripture a lot, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, 22. Not everyone, on that day, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And Jesus, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. And they'll say, but we said, we did many great things. We preached, we prophesied in your name. Jesus said, get away from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Because he wasn't the Lord of their life. They professed him as Savior, but not Lord. Israel was in the same boat. Nebuchadnezzar was coming, and Jeremiah was seeing him come. He was seeing the wickedness coming into the land, and God had shown him these things. And he was pleading with the people, with the leaders, with the religious folks to wake up. The judgment is going to come. And nobody, very few, believed him. I won't say nobody because I'm trying really, really hard to get out of those alls and every and... You know, because I can't say all or every, because I don't know. There were a few. There's a remnant in Israel in this time that wanted to follow God. Amen. They still went into captivity, but their heart was right. And we know that because we have the other prophets that were there and things of that sort. We won't get into all that tonight. But he says in verse 2, Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their rain. Did you see that? And this isn't rain like falls from the sky. This is the rule over them, the rain, right? Isn't that the same rain? R-E-I-N? Isn't that the rains? Oh, R-I-N-S, rains.
Kind of think of the reins of like a horse.
Yeah. Oh, okay, the direction reins. Yeah, so come on, guys. Let's fix this American language. Because there's rain, there's rains, and all of them are different. But the steering wheel, yeah, they that's what the Good News Bible would call, oh, the steering wheel of the horse. Anyhow, I got you giggling. Amen. And so, but yes, near their mouth and far from their reins, far from the control, right? They confess they were planted by God, but they have and they took root, they grew, they brought forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from being controlled, their Lord. You are their Savior, but you're not their Lord, is really what he's saying, their reign. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart towards thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. We need to be in the same heart and lifestyle situation that Jeremiah was in.
I think so.
Try me, O God. Yep.
try me against your word. And I know that I sin. I know that I am not without sin. I can never be that way. But test me. Try me. See, God, that I will follow you even if the whole world doesn't. I will plant my flag in the King James Bible, right? I'm going to plant my flag on the righteous words of Jesus Christ, and I will die there. Try me. And that's what Jeremiah is saying. He said, try me. And all for the rest, pull them out like sheep to slaughter, and then slaughter them. Isn't that what he just said? Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and then slaughter them. So pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? That is loaded. Look at our weather patterns, folks. Look at the weather patterns around America, around the globe. They're calling it global warming. I call it the breath of God. All right? Why are they planting crops and they're not growing? Why is this great fluctuation? Buffalo got 8 feet of snow. We got 2 inches all year. Well, we may have got 6 inches. I really don't know. But, I mean, we're supposed to be pushing 10 foot of snow right now in our area. You know what snow does for us? It gets the water tables up in the springtime. If we don't get snow this year, come the hot of the summer next year, we will be in a bad drought. Think about this, right? If you don't get that snowpack, it don't work.
We've had a good amount of rain, though.
Yeah, we have.
We're not in a drought.
Oh, yeah, we're not in a drought right now. But that rain is a different... rain doesn't pack like snow does. Yeah. It's a different thing. I don't understand all of it, but you're right. It's rained almost every day. Think about if all that rain would have been snow. Buffalo would look like a beach. But you look at the world weather patterns, right? Not just America weather patterns, not just our little microcosm here in the Northeast, but look at the world weather patterns, how God is manipulating all these things. And here, Jeremiah is saying, and he's saying, look at the weather, right? How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell in? Go ahead.
God will let man manipulate the weather.
Yeah.
They had a technology for
society. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So they can manipulate it. They got laws in the UN for weather manipulation, mm-hmm. in the laws of the UN. And God will let that happen.
Yeah.
Because God will let men do it. Mm-hmm. There is mm-hmm. his judgment.
Yeah.
There is his hand.
Yeah.
The Bible says.
Yeah. Absolutely. And for the wickedness of them, so the land's going to mourn, the herbs of the field are going to wither. Why? For the wickedness of them that dwell there. Because of the wickedness of the heart. Now, what you were talking about, that weather manipulation, I absolutely know that that's true. That's scientific. It's true. You can find it. You can find out how they do it. The seed planting or cloud planting, all that kind of stuff. They do those things. But God could stop all of that stuff. You know, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Amen?
And how precious does that make us?
Yeah.
Abram.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he... bargained with God. What
yeah.
if there's 10?
Right.
What if there's 10 righteous?
Yeah.
He loves us.
Yeah.
And part of his holding his hand back is he wants as many as he can to come to him.
Yeah.
That makes us very precious in his sight.
Absolutely.
He sought for a man.
And I found none. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. And so looking at that as he goes on, who will dwell there? The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. I know in the cattle raising areas of America, there has been this odd thing. I caught a little clip of it the other day. Hundreds of thousands of heads of beef are dropping dead for no particular reason. They're not freezing to death. They're not drowning. They're not really sick.
They just die, or they go missing. One rancher said he lost 100,000 head of cattle with no. They were just gone. No truck tracks. They were just gone. I'm not trying to get you to think of UFOs and some crazy stuff like that. I'm trying to think that they just left. They packed their little horns, their suitcases. We're heading to the promised land, boys. Let's go over the hills. I don't know what happened to them. They were just gone, right? They were just gone. In the Midwest, there's so the cattle and the birds, the chicken flu. What's that called? There's some avian flu. Hundreds of thousands of poultry are dying. Millions of birds are having to be sacrificed. Yeah, millions of birds having to be sacrificed.
Look at their practices.
Yeah,
look at what they're
feeding them in those big, huge.
Yeah.
They're feeding them pure plastic garbage.
Yeah.
You know, they're taking the garbage that recycle things that you put in your little bins and you put by the road. They take that, they grind it down, and they feed it to the livestock, to the chickens, to the cows.
That's why they left.
I ain't chewing this no more. If I eat one more piece of feed, tastes like old Pepsi product, I'm leaving here. And anyhow, we're making light of this, but Jeremiah is seeing it. Why are the beasts of the field dying? Why are the fowls of the air dying? And the men are saying that God won't see us. God's not looking at us. God's not going to judge us. We're the church. We're his chosen people. We're not going to go through anything bad, although we have polluted the land, we have perverted his word, we have turned away from the righteous judgments of God, we have prospered in the wickedness of this world, we have held on to the prosperity and the ungodliness of Lucifer in this world, and the church is doing this. They were doing it in Jeremiah's time, we're doing it in our time, and do we really expect that God's not going to act the same way? Only this time, I really believe this time is the last time. He is preparing us for the great and terrible day of the Lord. Right? And I keep saying right because I'm saying this because I don't want to believe it. I'll be honest with you. I am not looking forward to the terrible day of the Lord. But I have a very strong, sincere confidence that we're going to see it. Unless God is kind to us and takes us to our last breath, right, before that day comes. Praise God for those who are 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, right? Amen, really? Kevin said, I'm in the group. I'm not there yet. You know, so, I mean, You're one step closer to glory in your age than what I am.
You're old. Really close.
My wife said I'm really close. And I am.
It is a day, though, that you do not wish to be younger.
Yes.
That's how I feel. I don't wish to be younger.
Yeah. You know? But praise God for John. You know? And praise God that he's here and hearing this, that he is going to be prepared. You know, if I, by chance, don't get a chance to live through it, because remember, it's only 3.5 years, right? It's only 3.5 years, right? When it starts, it's only 3.5 years long. Praise God.
And I really believe we are going to be very, very busy.
Yeah.
Very, very busy.
We need to be,
God's work.
What we talked about Sunday morning, filled with compassion now. These people, the sudden death thing that's going on with all these people, all these folks that are just dropping dead for no apparent reason. More so than my whole life, right? And I'm no sport nut. Y'all know that. I'm confused with what shape ball goes with which sport. But anyhow,
you don't know what you're missing.
Praise God, I don't. But you're right, I don't know what I'm missing. But I think you look at these professional players, top athletes dropping over with heart attacks, dead before they hit the ground. All of the years, I mean, of real football, right? Before they had all these sissy rules and where you couldn't rough the kicker and stuff like that. You know, where the backyard game, and this might make you cringe because queer is different now than what it was then. It was called Smear the Queer. And the queer guy was the guy with the ball because nobody else had the ball but him. So that made him queer. Odd. One of these just doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
You know, and so he was the one. So we played Smear the Queer. And we crushed that guy. We crushed him. Right? Unless you could run really fast, you got crushed, right? And football was like that. It was a hard sport. It's not a hard sport anymore. Yeah, they practice all week. They wear big pads. They used to have leather helmets. You know? Come on.
There weren't more dead.
Right. And they didn't drop over dead.
Didn't have any teeth.
Yeah, didn't have no teeth. But cream corn is good. You can live off applesauce. Teeth are overrated. Why am I going this silly route? I guess I'm acting really light about this because it's such a deep and heavy subject. Because I'm certain that we are under the judgment of God right now. We're seeing these things that Jeremiah is seeing. Israel was under the judgment of God, even though Nebuchadnezzar had not yet surrounded the city. They were already under the judgment of God. America doesn't realize that it's surrounded by wickedness on every corner. Because we're calling righteous wickedness and wickedness righteous. When you're encouraged to bring your kindergartner to a strip show, a man dressed as a woman, and I see mothers and grandmothers bringing their grandchildren and children to these acts of perversion, and it's accepted, it's encouraged, that is the judgment of God. Changing the heart where that love, that compassion, that sense of what is right and what is wrong has left the consciousness of a whole people group. I've never seen that before, but we're living in that now. I keep saying it's worse than horrible. This is worse than horrible. It's judgment. It is the judgment of God. Amen. And we need to make sure that we don't run along with him. It says in verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they were wearied, and they wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? You think it's bad now? Wait for the next page. You think it's wicked now? Give it 6 months. I mean, really and truly, right now there's so many Christians hoping in the House of Representatives because there's some people that are called Republicans that are still socialists, right? They're still socialists. They call themselves they say they're for the people. And I know before some of the emails me, they'll say, well, there's one good one. Okay, yeah, there's one. There may be five good ones. But do you know how many seats are in the House? Okay, yeah, there's five good ones. Praise God. How about the other 300, right? Yeah, there's five good ones. Amen. Yay. Woo-hoo. Stand up. Be proud. I saw where one of the good ones in the House of Representatives refused to vote and just said present. And one of the other good ones came down and tried to fight with him, attacked him on the floor of the House. So, You get tired with running with the footmen right now. Wait till the horses get on the field. Wait till the next round. Wait till this generation where the six-year-old child is not even reprimanded for shooting his teacher, right? Because what I've seen in the news, and I don't trust the news, don't get me wrong on that, but they are blaming the gun that was stolen from the house, not the child that stole the gun from the house. All I've heard was that the gun was purchased legally. The mother had a right to have it. The 6-year-old child stole the gun from the mom, brought it to school, and shot his teacher. I'm with you. I see that face. Well, every kid got a backpack. Every kid, I think it was a 9mm.
It's the size of the 6-year-old.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's if you got a Glock 43, right? 43 is a small pistol, you know. But anyhow, well, it's the intestinal fortitude of a 6-year-old to bring a gun and shoot his teacher. To have that thought that I'm going to go and shoot my kindergarten teacher. And think that that, and then not be reprimanded for it. They're trying to sue the parent. Folks, I was raised in a house full of guns my whole life. All of them were always loaded. Always loaded. And they were just laying around. They weren't hid. My stepfather had a loaded .45 right there on the coffee table. There was one sawed-off shotgun under the couch, right? Every bedroom had a loaded gun in it. I had a loaded .22 in my bedroom from the time I was old enough to stand up and squeeze a trigger. You know what? We never killed anybody. None of those guns ever killed anybody. And they were all loaded. They were ready to go to school and kill people. But they didn't, right?
6-year-old had clips, extra clips in his back pocket.
I have no idea.
How does a
six-year-old get into that, right? What I'm saying is it's not the gun's problem, and it's not even the parents' problem. Yeah, you don't agree with that?
No.
I don't know. Didn't you have loaded guns in your house?
I think we're heading in a different direction, but
yeah.
It's definitely the parents' responsibility.
Yeah.
That's their
Well, we were taught
that's,
how to...
That's your whole,
yeah.
6-year-old can't reason if they got their underwear on the right direction,
mm-hmm.
let alone a
yeah.
handgun.
Right.
But,
and let alone loading the handgun, and if it's a regular handgun like
mm-hmm.
yours... There's no way a 6-year-old
can rack or line. Yep, absolutely. Yep, right. And so, but I don't know. Did you have loaded guns in your house?
No.
No.
They were all locked up.
Oh, all of ours were free. They were right there on the table. We were just told not to shoot them. You know, and so and you did what you were taught. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to hold them and
yeah.
play with them, and that was the.
Yeah, we didn't get to play with them.
We did.
Yeah.
That was the goal, to get the curiosity out.
Right.
My dad didn't want
mm-hmm.
us to.
We went out and we shot. We went out and we shot regular.
Makes sense.
You know.
He would let us hold them.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, you know, the handguns, he would always unload them and hand them to us.
Yeah.
And we would not play, but hold them.
Yeah.
And get used to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he locked them up, there was a purpose for getting them out.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, but
and so
thing,
yeah,
nobody
got shot.
And there was
right?
no gun in my backpack when I was 5
right.
years old.
We didn't have backpacks when we were 5 years old going to school. But anyhow, that's chasing down a different
yeah.
thing. I was raised a little bit different than most of y'all. You know, I was raised
yes,
in a
but
the same thing. Right. Same result.
We didn't
you know. We didn't take the handguns, you didn't go shoot people. I went to schools and there were shotguns in the back of every pickup truck. Every single car had a gun in it. All right, you know.
They did in York.
Yeah, they did in York. Right. It's
not about
this. Yeah, that's what
it's
I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Every other truck.
Every other truck. Amen. That's in York, New York. Right. So you didn't have to be in Slidell, Louisiana. You know, it's just. It is what it is, and so
they have them all over the city.
In fact, you can go down to Avenue D, go to somebody's back trunk, and buy one for next to nothing. So, and those are shooting people. So anyhow, the wickedness, the judgment, the understanding what is right and wrong has long passed this nation. When it is blamed on the gun that a child was able to get it and bring it to school and shoot the teacher. Where the teachers, I never, ever, ever heard of a teacher having sexual relationships with the student, ever, until the last few years. Ever. You know, well, y'all lived up north. We were different. You know, our teachers, you did not want to do that with. Spit out your teeth and kiss me one time. Yeah.
So I'm sure it happened.
Yeah. But if you've run with the footmen and you got worried, if you were worried about it now, wait till the horsemen come. It's going to get worse. And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? All right? If we're thinking that we're in peace right now, when the rivers really swell, how are you going to do? Because we haven't even seen, yeah.
When you're convinced that the Lord is going to fix this,
yeah, yes,
you keep staring and waiting for it to get fixed.
Yes.
Instead of recognizing that He is here, but He is not fixing
this. Right, yes.
Right, this is judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine thinking that, well, where are you, Lord? You mm-hmm. can fix this, right?
You're right.
He says it's going to wax worse and
worse. It's going to wax worse and worse.
He's going to fix it.
Yeah.
Not yeah.
Fix it.
In his time. That's right.
In his time.
We've got to get until it becomes as it was in the days of Noah. Right? And I was asked my wife several years ago, how much worse could it be? That was a couple years ago. And it's a thousand times worse today than it was then.
A lot worse. How many were on the ark?
Eight.
And how many made it out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Four. Lot, two daughters, Lot and his wife. Lot turned back.
So we got at least
Lot's wife
turned
back.
We got at least that many Christians probably in this room.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I hear you. You know?
It'll be a while.
Again, narrow is the gate and few that find it that lead to righteousness. You know?
We will see God's hand.
Amen. We will see God's hand. And actually, I think we're seeing God's hand. I really do. And it does.
Interviewed a January 6th man who's been in solitary confinement for months and months and months.
Yeah.
He praised Jesus.
Yeah.
He praised Jesus. He said, this is, you have to stand.
Yeah.
You have to stand. Mm-hmm. And then it's in Jesus'
hands. It's in Jesus' hands. Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
His will be done.
We've got to trust that. For even thy brethren and the household of thy father, even they have dwelt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. For I have forsaken, this is God speaking, for I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore I have hated it. Church, where are we? Is this us? Is this the church in America that he's talking to right here? Now, this is Jeremiah talking to Israel. But is this not how God feels about the wishy-washy, half-baked believers in the Savior, but not those who are submitted as to the Lord? Is this how he feels? I think it is. We're supposed to be his heritage. We're supposed to be a city built on a hill. We're supposed to be a light shining in the darkness. But the Church of America, and I can only speak for the Church of America because I'm not in the rest of the world. It's just here. We have turned away from the righteous commandments and judgments of God. And can we even expect anything different? Yeah, there's a remnant. Praise God, there's a remnant. You know?
I tell you, just, you know, reading through Jeremiah, it's not enough. But when Jeremiah is preached verse by verse, then you focus upon my heritage is to me as a lion of force. It crieth out against me, therefore I hated it.
Yeah. Well, while you're right there, read 9 and 10, because this bothers me too much to read.
Boy, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Many pastures have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate.
Yeah.
Being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. Something about preaching verse by verse.
Yes. In this book. It brings.
I need to hear it.
I have read this book. How many have read Jeremiah several times in their life? Have you ever heard it like this? I've read this book and Lamentations lots, so many times. And I mean, even just going through the study that we're going through now, I've read Jeremiah in my office probably six times since we've started this, because I want to make sure I have the rhyme and the reason right. Every time I come across this stuff, it rips my heart out. My pastors have destroyed my vineyard. How many times have I sat here and said it's the pulpits that destroyed the church? It's the spineless pastors that changed the word of God into something less than holy, something less than righteous. It's the pastors. Why is homosexuality rampant in America? Because the pastors never stood against it. Why are our children not respectful? Why our parents are not loving their children and disciplining their children? It's the pastors. We started preaching a different gospel, which was not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, if I or an angel come and preach to you any other gospel than the gospel which you have heard, let him be accursed. Well, we are living in the curse. Because too many so-called evangelical leaders are preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel of the kingdom of God. Some make it, some don't. Most pastors preach a gospel that every dog goes to heaven, no matter. Pray after me. You've slid into home. You're good to go. Go ahead. Have an affair. Go ahead. Get drunk on Saturday. Long as you come and bring your tithe check on Sunday so that we can pay the light bill, you know, or I can buy my new Lamborghini, you know, hey, guys, I could use a new Lambo, you know. No, I can't. I hate Lamborghinis. I could use a new pickup truck. Actually, I'm looking for a 1955 pickup truck with a carburetor. A straight six would be great, something you could work on. Anyhow, folks, I love you. We will pick up the rest of this next week. Good talk. This is a very exciting book, and we'll pick up right there in 10 again next week, Lord willing. Amen.
Could you imagine if there's just an array of just different churches, like-minded churches like us, started teaching in this area?
Yes.
Yeah. In the book of Jeremiah, on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
So the congregation, I wonder what would happen to people's walk.
One of two things. They will get up and walk out.
Shake their fist.
They'll shake their fist and leave, or they'll fall on their knees, face before God.
Yep.
But first, you've got to have pastors with a backbone. Sorry, ladies. And so you got to have pastors that are not afraid of their flocks. You know, well, first of all,
or in debt,
yeah,
holding to the offering rate,
amen. Yeah. They are slaves to the lender because they had to build a $50 billion church, you know, so we could preach more watered down gospel. Anyhow, if I get that way, tar and feather me, run me off the pulpit, amen. And amen. I'm holding you to it. And if I ever get to preaching something that is not God's word, y'all don't leave. Y'all stay. Run me out. All right? And find another man to stand in this gap. Right? And so anyhow, who wants to close in prayer? You got it, brother?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I think that the fear of trembling that comes out of this book. I think it comes from just one particular fact to me, Lord, and it's that I am a Jeremiah in this day. And what Jeremiah, what he was called to, Lord, I think that each of us are called to it to this day. Jeremiah spoke, and he didn't hold back, and there came a time, he was faithful to you, Lord. It's a sobering and it's a fearful thing that we are to be faithful to you, just as Jeremiah was faithful to you. You called him, Lord, in a time of trouble, and we are in a time of trouble right now. And I pray, Lord, that each of us, to wherever we go, and wherever we, where we work, where we congregate, whatever, Lord, that we would be Jeremiah's for to those people, Lord. Just a world that's just gone crazy and run amok, and doesn't even know what right and wrong is anymore, Lord. They call in good evil and evil good, and I just pray, Lord, help us like Jeremiah to weep too over them, because Lord, your heart was in Jeremiah, and your heart was weeping. So Lord, help us to be as you are, and help us to live our lives as your faithful servant Jeremiah led it, Lord. I pray each of us, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And my alarm just went off, so do you mind if I just quickly lift prayer for our persecuted?
Sure.
Brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, we come before you. In your name, we come before the throne. We just ask. At this moment, at 8:38, Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, those who have...